Lunch with Pippa Hudson.
And now,
Consumer Talk featuring Wendy Nola.
It is a warm welcome back to consumer journalist Wendy Nola. Great to have you back on the show again in 2021, Wendy, and best wishes to you for the year ahead.
Thanks so much, Pippa, and to you. It's so lovely to have you back.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. We're going to be looking at a number of case studies around the online shopping environment today, and then we will make space for your open line calls as well. So if you want to join the conversation, remember you can tweet us at Cape Talk. You can call in on 021-446-0567, send an SMS to 31567, or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Wendy, 2020 was the year that every second brand was dragged into the online retail space, like it or not, with varying degrees of success.
Absolutely. So I think the ones that are only online must have been looking around at what was going on with some degree of smugness, although they all get it wrong from time to time. Mm-hmm. It's when they fail to deliver and then fail to communicate to their customers who haven't got what they paid for, that things really, really go pear-shaped. So yeah, and then, you know, allowing too many staffers to take leave over the festive season despite a backlog of Black Friday orders, scaling down on customer service staffers, outsourcing the entire customer interaction role to an overseas company, or staffing your media response team with tech-savvy but really inexperienced people who haven't been trained in customer care and can't respond with anything other than our team will get back to you, and then they don't, of course. That is a recipe for disaster, and I've seen it playing out, and people in that space have tweeted me and emailed me and given me some background on what's going on, and that kind of scenario has become quite common. So scaling back on your customer response mechanisms because you're having a bad year or whatever is really, really not the way to go, because that's your face. That's your face to the public. And I certainly, before I will engage with any company online, you know, certainly making a purchase, I will go and look on Hello Peter. I will go and look on their Facebook page, click on the comments to their lovely marketing posts, and that's where people go to grab. And if there's, you know, quite a whack, you're always going to get some. Every company's going to get some. But if you see a stream of them and with the same themes of lack of delivery, lack of response, then I would not even think about doing business with that company. So you can see the value. And I'm not the only one that does that. I mean, I recommend everybody does it. So to undervalue and under-resource the customer response role is really just very, very misguided. So that's the sort of backdrop of the kind of couple of case studies we're going to talk about today, and I'm sure our listeners will have their own. Whenever I talk about this on Twitter, there's always a
flurry of follow-ons. Yeah, absolutely. So just to recap, it's not to say that everybody needs to be perfect. Everybody understands that any business can get things wrong from time to time. I make mistakes on air. You make mistakes in your work. It's human nature.
Sure.
How we respond to them, how we take accountability for the mistakes and make good on them is a different story entirely. And as you said so many times, if you compound the failure itself with a failure to communicate, you can actually just kill customers' trust in your brand altogether. So let's start with some of the case studies of brands that have had this flurry of complaints along these lines. Wendy, shall we start in the makeup space?
Okay, so international cosmetics brand Estee Lauder has come under fire and is coming under fire from scores of consumers who bought products online and have yet to receive them or the refund that they eventually got round to asking for. Many of them ordered discounted products during the Black Friday week, but the company's delivery failures, when I started tracking them, it looked like they began in worrying numbers from about May of last year. So this isn't just a Black Friday story. Megan Pollock, for example, she ordered 3 items in Black Friday week, November the 26th. She paid 1,683 Rand, and most of the orders were fairly substantial. When she wrote to me earlier this week, she'd had no communication from the Estee Lauder people regarding the fact that her order was cancelled. She just saw that online, much less any word on a refund. So she knew she wasn't getting the products, but nothing about the refund either. And remember, this is, you know, 5+ weeks ago. She tried to make contact largely didn't get anywhere. But finally, on the 10th of December, she did speak to a call center consultant. I've tried that number. You can hold on for a very long time. Somebody said more than 50 minutes.
Wow.
Was routine. But that person, it wasn't a rewarding contact. They wouldn't allow her to speak to her manager. They were unable to provide a solution or a resolution to her problem other than to say that they'd had a system issue on Black Friday and that their managers were contacting each impacted customer. So again, there was nothing. They don't have a Twitter presence much to speak of. They were answering a few people, but very random.
Okay.
And so there was nothing like on the Facebook page or anything to say. As I always say, just put a banner there saying, sorry, the people get that they haven't, that their money's not lost entirely, that the company hasn't folded or something like that. So that's what people start to think if they don't get a response.
Yeah.
So she emailed, got no response. She did get responses to her private messages on their Facebook page, all of them very much cut and paste, saying the tea would get back to her, but they never did. So
okay.
That's what, when she finally contacted me in desperation.
Okay, and since doing that, there has been some progress, and we've actually got Megan on the line to tell us how it has moved since then. Megan Pollock, thank you for joining us on Cape Talk this afternoon and being prepared to share your experience. Wendy has summed up for us the nature of the complaint. I believe you have seen some movement since she intervened. Good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa, and hi, Wendy. Thank you very much for inviting me to share my experience on the show, which has been extremely frustrating over the past month and a half. And out of desperation, as Wendy said, I contacted her on recommendation from my mother. And if it wasn't for Wendy, I would have received no assistance from Estée Lauder. Only after contacting Wendy did I receive a response from Estée Lauder yesterday afternoon. Okay. Offering to either send a part of my order, which was still in stock, or provide me with a refund. I haven't yet contacted Estée Lauder. And shortly before this talk, I received another email from them indicating that they have sent a part of the order that was in stock and that they would be refunding me for what wasn't in stock, which is actually not my wish, as I want them to refund me for the full purchase price that I spend. I don't want their products.
Gosh, so if I'm understanding you correctly, they send you an offer giving you two alternatives, and before
yes.
you've chosen one of those alternatives, they made the decision for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
my gosh.
Just to compound the issue of the poor communication.
Exactly.
I mean, Megan, I can understand why you would never want to support the brand again or would rather go and buy those items from a store and have them in your own hands directly. Have they said anything to you about the timeline for processing the refund?
They said it would take up to 10 working days. And considering I placed the order on the 26th of November last year, I mean, it's putting us well into January, almost 2 months after the fact. And to keep, that amount of money from someone for such a long period of time is actually unacceptable. A lot of people can't do without this money.
Yeah. I mean, Wendy, what do you think Megan should do? Should she just grind her teeth and wait for the delivery of the products that have now been sent? Or do you think she should insist on her right to her choice of a full refund?
I'm hearing that this is what's happened for the first time now, because as Megan said, it's just happened shortly before we went to air.
Yes.
But absolutely, she's entitled to that refund. Remember, she found out there was a problem by going online and seeing order cancelled and then got no money, no refund, and then couldn't engage with them about that. So it has been a really hideous example of bad customer service from the get-go. If she needed those cosmetics, surely she would have found a way of getting them, from a store directly or whatever, or through another online site. But no, she definitely has the right to say, I don't want your products. Do not send them to me. I want a full refund. And the fact they didn't give her that option is appalling. So, yeah, I think, Megan, the best thing for me to do is to email my contact. You've already discovered that getting hold of them as the customer is not a very easy thing to do. So let me do that. When I come off air, I will send an email and say, cancel the order and refund her in full ASAP. The 10 working days thing is also unacceptable after this long wait. Refunds are able
to
be done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Wendy, you know, I saw online on Facebook yesterday, still, you know, with one of their adverts that Estée Lauder has on their Facebook page, I still see so many people complaining about the exact same problem, you know, and I want to know what Estée Lauder is doing to help those individuals that, you know, aren't aware of you or, you know, haven't contacted you or have no other means of getting assistance from Estée Lauder.
We're going to speak about a few other cases in a minute, but Megan, just a quick final question from my side. Sure. Has this experience changed your perception of the brand? I mean, it's a pricey investment, Estée Lauder Cosmetics. You do it because you know that it's a quality and a product that you like. Are you going to buy their products going forward, or has this experience put you off to such a degree that you'd rather switch to a different brand?
It has absolutely put me off, Wendy. I've been with Estée Lauder, and I think their service has damaged the international brand of Estée Lauder. And I, you know, I indicated to my family just yesterday that I want to go out and look for a different makeup brand for the products that I use from Estée Lauder.
Megan Pollock, that says it all. And there is the nub of the conversation, Wendy, that these
exactly.
are not just mistakes that, oops, sorry, we'll try better next time. They are potentially mistakes that make your customers vote with their feet. So Megan Pollock, a story to be continued. And I hope Wendy is able to get you a full refund, as you would really want, in less than 10 days. I mean, Wendy, there's no excuse for a 10-day turnaround of a refund with electronic banking systems in place.
That's clueless customer service. It really is shocking. I mean, they really need an urgent intervention on the customer service front in order to attempt to rescue the damage, recover from the damage that this lack of delivery has caused.
Yeah. Because as Megan referenced, she's not the only unhappy customer you've dealt with in the past couple of weeks, Wendy.
Absolutely not. So Sereni Rabukusan of Durban, she also spent over R1,000 on her Black Friday Estée Lauder purchases. She did receive a package, but it was missing a key item, face powder, which was R540. So about half of her total spend. I emailed them immediately, she told me, but got no reply. I also called numerous times, no answer. And as Megan said, you know, their Facebook page is full of scores and scores of complaints about similar things. That they either got nothing, they got the wrong goods, something different from what they ordered, or Sereni's case, a short order, so they didn't get everything that they paid for, and no note in the parcel, no nothing. As Megan said, if they'd put a notice, or sent an email out, or put a notice on one of their social media platforms to say, "We're terribly sorry, we've had some snags with our fulfilling our Black Friday orders," although I said this problem existed before Black Friday, then even though it's negative news, they would have some sense that the company was owning the issue and doing something about it. But just this complete silence was unacceptable. So, also a place that I would suggest people go to before they make any orders, do any online orders, is consumer complaints website, Hello Peter. There's just loads and loads of complaints there. This one, I think, really touched me. Nareshni C. wrote on New Year's Eve, she ordered from the official site Black Friday week, only received one of the four items that she ordered. Upon inquiry, I was told I'd receive a refund because the products were out of stock. Megan didn't even get that she couldn't get that far. And my money would reflect within 7 to 10 working days. When I asked for a reference number, the woman insisted I didn't need one and that an email would be sent within 10 minutes. Never happened. And she's never been reimbursed. She said she was the one who told me. She's called the customer care line about 5 times. She works from home with 2 young children. The call was cut after being on hold for more than 50 minutes. I'm out of pocket by over R1,000, money that I saved to purchase these products and that I can only afford once a year, presumably she meant on that Black Friday sale, and now I have nothing to show for it. That really touched me, that particular account.
I would be furious. I would be absolutely furious if I was in that position. Now, you reached out to Estée Lauder for Megan's case. Did they give you any general feedback on these other cases as well, Wendy?
I copied, I sent some from Facebook or whatever, which I'm hoping they would be aware of. First of all, I battled to find a contact person. Phoning around, somebody from a competitor company whose contact details I had actually told me that they'd got, they gave me the number for Mariana Sidor, who, when I got hold of her, they said she was the general brand manager for Estée Lauder. When I got hold of her, she said she'd been retrenched. just short on the 15th of December, less than a month ago. And incidentally, during my research, I saw that 3 weeks ago, the company was advertising for an e-commerce manager.
Well, that's desperately needed.
Yeah, exactly. But I did get hold of, eventually via a woman who I asked to be identified only as a company spokesperson. And this was the statement she issued to me. We are deeply sorry to our customers, consumers, for any order delays experienced, or if our customer care teams have been difficult to contact recently. Due to the very high volume of orders and contacts this holiday season, we have not always been able to deliver the high standards of service that consumers expect from us. We are working hard to respond to all consumer queries as quickly as possible, and we've added additional resources to our customer care team to assist with doing so. That was it. I pointed out that media response lacked any concrete commitment to sorting the problems out, which did exist, as I've said, before the Black Friday spend fest, and they were merely exacerbated by it. So I asked, when does the company expect to deliver the products of those who still want their products, or to refund them for those who've got to the end of their patience and want their money back? I said it cannot be an open-ended undertaking at this point. But unfortunately, the company does not want to expand on that written response that I got. So I have to say, until the backlog is sorted out, I would suggest that fans of the Estée Lauder brand buy their cosmetics in store. So they hand over the money and they get their product and it's a done deal. I know many people are wanting to shop more online and are less willing to go into a store because of the, threat of the risk of infection. But I certainly wouldn't recommend right at the moment that somebody buys this brand online.
Thanks for that heads up. I wonder if anybody else listening has had similar experiences to what Megan and others have described. You can leave us a voice note on 0725671567 or pop an SMS through to 31567. So for now, Estee Lauder fans, buy in store is the advice. Until such time as they get their online distribution issues sorted out, it is a much safer option to hand over your money and walk away with the products that you've paid for in your hand. Two service bouquets coming in. I'm happy to say we're not only getting complaints, Wendy, we've also got a few people acknowledging businesses who are getting it right with their online shopping. Andy, thanks for your email telling me a shout out for Clicks, from whom I've received excellent delivery service for the past 7 months.
Okay.
That's very good to hear. And then another one from Cynthia, who says, I've had really good service from Faithful to Nature. They also respond promptly to questions from this grey-haired lady, and thank heavens they make use of Pargo delivery. It's reassuring to know I can pick up my parcel when it is convenient to me. I have to concede I don't know what Pargo delivery is, Cynthia. I'm assuming it's some kind of Dropbox mechanism where it's placed in the locker and you fetch it. Maybe just pop us a follow-up SMS if you'd like to. WhatsApp Cynthia and just expand a little bit, or if anybody else wants to expand on that comment, it would be interesting to know. There are lots of customers wanting an alternative to going into stores right now. It's fantastic to be able to recommend the brands that are getting it right and leaving happy customers in their wake, as well as those who are not so happy. And we've got a couple more unhappy stories to share with you in the consumer segment today. But if you've got stories of happy online shopping experiences, please do share those with us as well. Wendy, touch wood, this is the first Christmas that every single one of my online purchases arrived on time as they were ordered. No complaints, no returns necessary. Everything worked like clockwork, and that included Incredible Connection and Take a Lot and Zander and Superbalist. So I'm really sort of counting my lucky stars after that experience. So it sounds like a couple of them are finally getting it right.
You've robbed me of a great research for case studies, though, Pippa, but I'm happy for you.
Thanks, Wendy.
Cape Talk. Consumer Talk. Call now on 021-446-0567.
That is the number to dial if you'd like to raise an open line consumer issue with us. We're going to wrap up the conversation about online shopping successes and fails with another case study. But before we do that, thank you. Vic emailing to say that Pargo is indeed a Dropbox system at Clicks. And Cynthia's also sent a follow up to say they're one of the small businesses highlighted a few years back on your station. Oops. Sorry, I missed that, Cynthia. My problem with deliveries is I'm not always available, and Pargo is an option of a Dropbox where where they deliver to a depot like Clicks, and you have 8 days to pick it up when it's convenient for you. That is it's a very practical system for people who are not always in the same place at the same time every day. It's something I struggle with, trying to get deliveries. Do I send it home or do I send it to work? And it's a nightmare. So Cynthia, thank you very much for the heads up on that one. Okay, Wendy, the Crocs. This is a brand you either love or hate, and you will either wear them because they're comfortable. I know a lot of chefs and nurses in particular absolutely swear by their Crocs for people who have to be on their feet for long sessions, and we certainly want our healthcare workers to be comfortable in them at this time of year more than any other. But they are also having a bit of a problem with online orders going astray.
Yes, and I'm going to put my hand up and say I'm a fan of the brand since before they were in this country. My sister lives in a part of America where they're actually based, and sent out a pair for everybody in my family. What other brand can you do that with the weight? And not the classic sort of, you know, cheese, holy cheese ones, but they have all sorts of other styles. So I speak the less ugly ones. I have wellies and slippers and everything else. So I'm a fan of the brand, but they're online delivery, I will go and buy in a store because their online service is hit and miss. And at the moment, they're having a lot of misses. I had a complaint from a woman called Mabel in Slabati recently, which I'll talk about in a sec. And then obviously what I do when that happens is I go online and have a look. I go and look on Hello Peter. And yes, there is a lot of worrying service delivery fails going on there. And again, as with the Estee Lauder case, very bad communication when they've failed somebody with the delivery, then they compound it with bad communication. So again, you know, a killer combo.
Yeah.
So Mabel's case, she turned to me for help in desperation last week, having failed to get what she paid for from Crocs South Africa on November the 17th. She said, you know, the lack of engagement from the support team was absolutely staggering. She ordered two pairs of boots, received them on the 13th of November, but one was too small, and she asked about an exchange. Just to say here, unlike when you buy something in a store where you have no automatic right to take it back if you don't like them or they're too small or whatever, unless they're defective, they don't have to take them back at all. Mm-hmm. But when you buy online, you have a 7-day cooling off period to send them back from the date of delivery. You don't have to have a reason at all. You just get to say, I don't like them, I don't want them. Because, and this is the upside of buying things unseen, you hand your money over in good faith, and you haven't had a chance to engage with the product properly. The Electronic Communications and Transaction Act does allow the supplier, the retailer, to charge the consumer to send the stuff back if there's nothing wrong with it. The big ones like Takealot, Superbalist, or many others don't charge that courier fee. They give you a full refund or credit. They just absorb that cost. But the smaller ones do charge. And in Mabel's case, she was told, no problem. If you pay us a 70 Rand collection fee, you can send back the boots and we'll give you the size that you want. So that's what she did immediately. But when she wrote to me last week, she had yet to receive that exchange pair. And communications from the so-called support team had been inappropriate. So this is an example for her. She hadn't heard from them for an entire month, and she kept emailing and emailing. After sending that 70 Rand on top of the purchase price, emailing me nothing. Then she got an email saying, we tried calling you about your order details. Please call us back. But I mean, all she wanted to know in those emails were, why hasn't she got the shoes? That doesn't need to be a call. Just answer her on the email service. Anyway, I love this one. When she got an email before that call, a month after silence, and the email said, we may not respond as quickly as you would like. We do apologize for any inconvenience in the delay, but please be assured your query is being ticketed. Astonished me. As quickly as you like. And this was after an entire month of nothing. And I did ask Crocs, what do they consider to be a reasonable response time? And I haven't yet to get an answer to that. But anyway, Mabel did eventually get her money back.
Okay. Well, that's the main thing. So what about the 70 Rand she'd paid for the collection then? Did she get that money back as well?
I'm not entirely sure. That's a good question. She did get a call to say she would be getting her money back. And she was also told that she said she was told she would get 30% off her next purchase. And I was told by the web controller that I finally got through to that she would be getting a 20% discount. So either 20 or 30%, I suppose that's something. But yes, I would like to think she'd get that 70, or she certainly should. And if she doesn't, I'll push for that. But yeah, Mabel subsequently wrote to me to say that she'd got a call from Crocs apologizing. And she just, then she said, you know, it is appalling that their call center has just been ignoring, or the contact center ignoring my emails like that. I'm so angry and annoyed. And this was supposed to be a Christmas present for my daughter.
Oh, shame.
So she's told she'll get her money back within she didn't want the boots. She wanted her money back. She gave up on the boots. She wanted her money back, and they're giving it to her in 3 to 5 working days. It was 584 rand for the boots, and let's hope that includes the 70 rand that she paid to send it back. But yeah, she was very grateful for the intervention. But again, it shouldn't have taken my intervention, and there are many, many other people on Hello Peter who are complaining about very similar things, wrong order, mixed up orders, and just, you know, somebody wrote, I'm so disappointed, also angry and upset. And I thought the upset, you know, it's a break in trust. It's a brand people connect with. You either do or you don't. And if you do, you know, you're loyal. You see the value in them and you want them. But yeah, certainly for now anyway, I think again, this is a company that has a strong, presence in many, many malls around the country, and I would certainly go and buy in a store and walk away with what I paid for. For now, yes, I mean, and, you know, they may get over their wobbles, but I just don't think it's acceptable to pay. It's not a cheap brand, and then you must wait and wait and consider yourself lucky to get a response if there's a problem within less than 30 days. No. It's just not good enough. So
Wendy, we've got an interesting case study that's come in on the SMS line from Julia in Cormackie, which is in the similar sort of vein around just the lack of communication from customers who are prepared to wait for a product if somebody will just tell them what is going on. Julia writes to say she placed an order with a small online South African business at the end of October and still hasn't received the goods. She says, I was trying to support local, but after following up, they said they import their products. I hadn't noticed that on the website. Since then, I've followed up a couple of times, and they just keep saying that due to COVID, it's taking a long time to get the goods in from overseas. Now, she says the following, I understand the restrictions, but I feel there are many other suppliers who are able to get their products even from overseas, and I don't really know what else to do. I'm trying to be understanding, but they're just not communicating properly with me. For Julia and for anybody else who finds themselves in this predicament of having paid their money and not received their goods, from an established company, what's your advice on how to proceed?
Okay, so I'm going to get to how to choose your online retailer just now, but if you've already chosen what's turned out to be the wrong retailer who's not transparent, I mean, that if they'd said when an order was, or before an order was placed, please be aware these goods, I mean, by October we're well in the whole COVID era, please be aware there could be long delays, whatever, we ask your indulgence, it'd be worth the wait, whatever. Then the people go into it, you make an informed decision, but it's not okay. I mean, the Consumer Protection Act talks about transparency and full disclosure in just about every section. So that is not okay. But so if you're now in that situation, if it's an established company, post on Hello Peter, or any company really, post on Hello Peter and on the company's Facebook page and their Twitter account as a warning to others. I think we have an obligation. You don't have to be hysterical about it. You don't have to be abusive, or you certainly shouldn't be abusive, but just say this very factually. It's not defamation if it's absolutely true. And just say, you know, love the brand, but, you know, it's 6 weeks, 8 weeks down the line, I don't have my product and they're not communicating with me in any effective or appropriate way, so that others can make a decision, an informed decision about whether what they want to buy online. On top of that, I mean, you can go to a consumer journalist such as myself, but I would recommend, especially with the bigger brands, Pippa, is that you take it to the small claims court.
Okay.
The limit is 20,000 Rand. That would cover most people's spend, I would imagine, online spend. And I've seen this to be very effective in the case of big companies. They've been ignored. Suddenly it goes beyond the customer service team when there's a small claims court official letter about the fact that they're basically – it's theft. You could go to the police station and lay a charge of theft by false pretenses. You paid money and you didn't get it. Certainly there's there's that. I've seen many, I've heard from many consumers who've said the company jumped and immediately refunded or sent the goods or whatever they needed to do. And of course, as we always say, if you've paid by credit card, which most of us do online, there's chargeback if you don't get what you paid for.
Yeah.
The problem is that there are limits. You must find out what your, what window your bank gives you to complain, or to lodge chargeback rather, and then make sure you lodge that before that window is up. Mm-hmm. So that is very, very effective. You just need to prove that you didn't get what you paid for, and that you, that's easily done. You've got your order confirmation and you possibly an email or two or something from you sending it to them and not getting a response saying, I have, you know, what's happening? Where are my goods? Where's my refund? So that's, I think, the best advice for if you've already found yourself in the situation. But of course, doing your homework before, in the ways that I've spoken about, is going
saves
on to
Peter.
Go into their Facebook site and under the comments underneath their marketing posts, read those. Because if the company is currently, I mean, many companies go through stages. So they're great and then they get a new customer response team or a new courier or something and then things go wrong. So you want to know what their current delivery is. And that's where you'll find it, the latest comments on their Facebook page on Hello Peter. As I say, all companies get them, but we're looking for the volume and the systemic no delivery, no communication ones. And that's a very big, very big red flag.
Wendy, thank you so much for that advice. And everybody, well, good luck to you. If you are dealing with this kind of issue, hang in there. And I hope that those issues are going to be resolved. Okay, we've got several open line questions coming in on other topics, as well as a couple of bouquets for those online shopping experiences that are going well. So let me share a few of those before we raise the new topics. Sue in Nortuk saying, I've been using Dischem online since the start of lockdown and have had fantastic service, immediate response to email queries, really highly recommended. Esme in Somerset West saying, we had to isolate for 14 days due to contact with a COVID positive person, and we're very pleasantly surprised with the excellent service from our Checkers 6060 deliveries. The drivers all showed concern about our health and wished us good vibes. That's very nice to hear, Esme.
Wow.
And I hope that you came through the isolation period with no symptoms yourself. Thanks for that feedback. Okay, another thumbs up to Kamati Foods and Glutagon Bob saying, excellent products and prices and excellent service, more pertinent to the current conversation. Thanks for that feedback. Okay, now on to some new open line questions. A reminder, we've got about 10 minutes of open line available. You can leave a voice note on 0725671567 or send an SMS to 31567. Here's an interesting question on the WhatsApp from Anonymous Wendy. If your fridge, which is still under warranty, packs up and you have food items that went bad, do you have a valid claim for those items?
It's not specifically covered in the Consumer Protection Act Section 56, which is around your return rights, Pippa, but I would certainly say so. And I know of cases where consumers have argued for that and been reimbursed. Remember, if you've got a short-term insurance policy for household goods and whatever, they will cover that as well. So that's an avenue to explore where you know you're going to, I mean, but you know, it depends on what your excess is. So that might be,
and how substantial, you know,
it might cancel it out. Yes. But yes, certainly. Just a question though, it depends which warranty. You have far greater rights if it's the 6 month, Consumer Protection Act warranty. Whereas if it's the, from month 7, the manufacturer's warranty takes over. It's a voluntary warranty and they get to make the terms and conditions. So you're in a much weaker position. So there's a, under warranty is vague. It's very much depends which warranty you're talking about as to how much, you know, what clout you have to argue such a thing.
Okay, thanks very much for that feedback. Another general question from another anonymous. Can you please ask Wendy if one can return a cell phone after purchasing if it does not meet one's requirements?
Well, that's a very good, very tricky question because the Act talks about, when it talks about defective items, it's defective or it malfunctions or it's not fit for purpose, which means that it's not functioning the way it is intended to function. But with cell phones, I find, especially with older folk, dare I say, they get a new phone and an upgrade, a typical scenario. They've had, you know, not much chance to interact with the phone.
Yeah.
And if any, and they just don't like it. The keys are too small or too big, or the whole operating system is different from what they used to, and they don't like it. Now, that wouldn't be covered by the CPA, because being not fit for your purpose is not the same thing as being fit for purpose as a cell phone. But we had Jan from Ellen when you were away, Papa.
Okay.
We had him on to talk about exactly this scenario and how we as consumers can protect ourselves from getting – inadvertently landing up with a cell phone that we hate. It's nothing wrong with it, so you don't have a right of return for a replacement or a refund, but you just don't like it. It was about 2 or 3, maybe two weeks ago. If listeners are interested in that, it will be on the podcast. But unfortunately, anonymous, unless the phone is actually defective, or you can prove somehow that it was missold. So the advert said it would do whatever and it doesn't. Unless it was one of those two scenarios, you have no right to return a phone, no legal right to return the phone for any recourse if it's just something that doesn't suit you, you don't like it.
You can ask the question, though, and I'm saying from personal experience, because I know this happened to my mom with her most recent phone upgrade. The device was delivered. She absolutely hated it. She found the sort of swiper mechanism very hard to use, and she phoned the company, and they very gladly exchanged it for a different model. So it's worth asking the question.
That's
if you're
excellent.
In that position. Yeah. I'm afraid I don't know the name of the store, whichever store was handling cell phone transactions in Neisner, was incredibly helpful in this case. But so it's worth asking if they would be willing to, particularly if it's within a day or so of receiving it. And
That links into what I was saying about online. If your mom upgraded over the phone, that would make it a direct marketing case. And that's another situation. You get the same rights as an online purchase. So you get that 7-day cooling off period. But because the phone was used, they couldn't sell that as a new phone. So they would be entitled to subtract from the purchase price or whatever, if it was a cash deal. But then we talk about upgrades. They would be entitled to levy some kind of admin fee or some kind of handling fee for the fact that the phone was now used. But if they just did it for, you know, there were no penalty to her, then that is a wonderful service.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Hunley, an interesting one going back to online orders and those coming in from overseas. Hunley writes the following. I ordered clothes from Zaful, Zaful, on the 8th of September last year. Normally orders arrive within 2 to 3 weeks, but I received a message from Buffalo International Logistics on the 15th of September to say that customs required various paperwork, including proof of payment, the order details, etc. I've provided all documentation, but still have not received my order. The logistics company is following up, but do I need to follow up with Zaful as the retailer, with customs, or with the logistics company? And how do I do this? Asks Hunley.
Wow. Okay. Normally, the company that you would go to in the case of non-delivery would be the company that you paid, who has their own arrangements with their various partners, delivery partners that you have no part of. So I would say go back to Zaful and ask them to investigate, because they are responsible for their third party deliverers, courier services. So that's what I would do. It's a little bit late now for chargeback. I think this is very much COVID related. Remember on recent shows, Pippa, we've spoken about the fact that certainly the post office and the couriers would be affected to some extent as well with restrictions on air traffic. I remember I finally got my test wish order, but it took about 6 months. I did finally get it, and it was a little bit underwhelming, but I did get it. So things are starting to move now with so many parts of the world and certainly to the north of us going back into stricter lockdowns, stricter restrictions. I think we might have continued delivery problems with stuff bought overseas. And I would certainly say it would be wiser to buy from local online retailers for the foreseeable future.
Okay, thanks for that advice, Wendy. Yeah, it's a very good point that things might have been improving, but they may well be going backwards again very soon as large parts of the Northern Hemisphere in particular go back into hard lockdown. Okay, let's pick up on an email that I know was sent to us in December, and our apologies, Bev, that we didn't have a chance to pick up on it last year. Bev emailed us on behalf of an elderly neighbor who did an EFT to Telkom on the 26th of November. She was meant to pay 270 Rand, and she accidentally paid 27,000 Rand. Wendy, I can only assume she thought there was a comma, naught indicating naught cents at the end of the 270, but accidentally paid 27,000. And Bev says this is an elderly pensioner who really struggles with technology. And after making that accidental payment, she has tried her best to contact Telkom. She has made numerous calls. She has made numerous visits to the stores. Every time she is given a reference number and then conflicting information as to how she will be refunded. And to date, she has still not been refunded. What can be done? She is extremely distressed by the situation. As a widowed pensioner, she needs to be refunded urgently to use that money to meet her monthly commitments. Bev's looking for any direction on how to deal with this issue.
The only thing I could suggest, I don't know if you've already forwarded me that email. I certainly haven't read it. So I'd like to see it. And I would need so many people, unfortunately, they'll send an email and it doesn't have basic information like the account number in question and that kind of thing. Then I have to go back to them. But you know, if all the information is there, I can certainly send it on to my contact at Telkom. Remember, he's sorted out that case of the also elderly widow lives up the West Coast somewhere, and she had he was very effective in sorting that out. So, I mean, this is an urgent situation. When was the 27,000 Rand paid?
On the 26th of November.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, in the middle of that old Black Friday date that keeps cropping up at this show. Yes. So I will absolutely prioritize that case. I just need all the details in order to do so. And hopefully by next week's show, we can come back and say that if she hasn't already got her money, that it's well in hand, it's on its way back to her.
Fingers crossed. Okay. Wendy, as we speak, I've just forwarded you both the original email and the reminder they've sent this morning. So they'll be in your inbox when you check it at the end of this show. That is an important thing Wendy's just mentioned, that if you are going to send a case study our way, please, it really does save everybody a whole lot of time and hassle if you can put all the relevant information into one email message rather than trying to track five or six with attachments, etc. Put it all down in one page and make sure we've got relevant contact numbers, account numbers, etc. to make it a bit easier for Wendy to follow up, please. She's not able to follow up on every single case that is sent to us. She would be awake 24/7 and days of the year that simply don't exist if that was to be the case. But a reminder that the email address to use is consumer@nola.co.za, which is spelled K-N-O-W-L-E-R. And you can also find her on Facebook via her page, Wendy Nola Consumer. One last one I think we can squeeze in the 2 minutes left, Wendy. Antoinette in Sedgefield says, I have cancelled my Trudon Yellow Pages back in 2018, and Trudon have now started charging me again for a service I cancelled, 800 Rand per month, and I cannot get through to them to sort out the problem. Any suggestions for Antoinette?
Yes, you should please send that to me in an email as well with all the relevant account numbers and whatever. I will send it. Trudon being the Telkom's directory's subsidiary, I will send it to the same man. He can send it to the relevant colleague, and hopefully we can get that sorted out, because that is very serious. 800 Rand a month. I would need proof of the cancellation. And thank you for saying the thing about the details, Pippa. Honestly, it could be 5 to 10 times more effective, get through that much more cases if I didn't have to have, you know, at least one, usually two or three exchanges with people just trying to get all the information that I need to take up the case. And with nobody to palm off the admin stuff to, it just slows me down and frustrates me terribly. I know that we as journalists are trained to think when, where, how, why, and put all the get all the details into our stories, and that most people aren't. But if you could just imagine me receiving the complaint and you know, whether I would have what I need to take it up, that would be my New Year's joy. You know, it would really, really help me.
Okay, thank you.
More effective.
And thanks for explaining that. So just again, if you are sending through a complaint, stop for a second before you hit send to think about, will Wendy be able to take this initial email and act on it immediately? If the answer is no, because she doesn't have your full name, your account number, the relevant cell phone number, etc., all the attached, the dates of the transaction, this till slip, put it there in that initial email. It really will raise the chances of an immediate action on your email by a large degree. Wendy, always great to have you with us. Thanks for being with us today, and we'll chat again next week, Wednesday.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Pippa.
Wendy Nola, our consumer journalist. Mail her on consumer@nola.co.za.